What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Broken Clock Podcast Gamescast. As always, I am Adam.
And I am Joe.
And we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day.
Not that time.
Nope, I was wrong that time. That one doesn't count. I still have two in the bag, though, for the rest of this episode, so good to go. But yeah, welcome everybody to the show. This is our video game podcast for this week. This is episode 12.
Yeah,
because 10 was the big one. It was just you and I last week. We're now on to episode 12. Wow. I didn't update it in my list.
Getting old.
I know, flying by, man. Yeah. Just time. Time's a fickle person. Mistress, I think.
Bitch.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but we'll get this out of the way. Happy Mother's Day. Speaking of bitches, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Not to the people who have pets. Because I dislike very much when they try to piggyback onto holidays like this. Like,
my dog is my baby.
Yeah, I'm a mom to so many fur babies. But no, you're not. Stop. Because you can leave your animals with other people. It's fine. It's not. You're not a mom. You're just a person who has weird attachment issues to animals. But today's not your day. Unless you're a regular mom, too. Then it's your day.
Yeah, my mom's one of those baby people, but she's actually my mom.
But she's actually a mom. Yeah, no, the people that are single and 28 and are like, yeah, I just love my fur baby. No, stop. Just stop it.
Fur baby sounds so creepy.
It does. It sounds really weird. Yeah. I don't like it. They do. That's their thing. This is ours. Ours is video games. So we're going to jump right into it. We have a lot to cover this week. I think we're going to have a lot to cover most weeks as we gear up towards
E3. Sneaking up on us.
In a month. Yeah, I think it's only four weeks away.
I can't wait.
E3. So leaks are going to start coming fast and furious. And we're going to...
already coming.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about them. So we're going to jump right into it, as we always do, with what have we been playing. Joe, what did you play this week?
To start off the week, I played Battleborn?
Yeah, you had talked about it last week. You bought it for $5.
Yeah.
Does it feel worth $5?
It sure feels like a game, all right. $5?
A little steep.
No, okay. The game's not terrible. Obviously, it's not like a bad game. It just kind of, I think it did suffer from
the fact that the
Overwatch, bad timing,
yeah,
came out, know, the, came exact out same time. The same time, and they're very similar games and stuff. But it's by far it's not a great game either. Also, it's not the kind of game I like. So
is it the same type of game as Overwatch?
It is. It's like a hybrid of Overwatch and a MOBA.
Okay.
Where, and I guess Overwatch is also kind of a weird
first
MOBA-esque game. But yeah, it's another first-person shooter like Overwatch, but it's a MOBA. I've never really played any MOBA games, so I'm probably going to butcher this.
And I'm not a nerd.
Anyone who listens to this is going to be like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Very true.
But what it is it's a first-person MOBA game. You have like a stream of little like minion dudes that you have to make sure get to, from like your end of the arena to the enemy's end of the arena.
Okay.
And through that, you're also running around shooting at their dudes and your opponent's characters and stuff like that.
Is it all online?
It does have a single player mode.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of that. Okay. So first we'll get some of the stuff out of the way. I knew it was a problem right off the bat when the opening cutscene was animated.
Like, what do you mean?
Like a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
That to me is always a bad sign, because to me it's like, okay, you didn't take the time to actually render this in 3D. Like Overwatch has cutscenes that are in full 3D, tons of them.
But like Ratchet and Clank has animated cutscenes, and those games are good.
Yeah, but normally for me when that comes up, I'm like, this kind of screams lazy to me.
It's not great. Lack of money.
You didn't have enough time, you didn't have the budget kind of thing like that.
No, I hear you.
So the opening cutscene animated, I will say it looked good from like a cinematography perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angles and everything, the actual combat and the fighting looked really good. It was like missing frames. It was very like sketchy and jumpy and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, you really could have put more effort into this. Then it got really bad when it had the static comic book cutscenes, where it's just like a picture of the character comes up and the word box comes under and like they're talking to each other like that.
Is it like a motion comic or that's not even moving?
It's not even moving. It's just like the character head like slides into frame and it does. And yeah,
that sounds awful.
I mean, this is the same studio that made all the Borderlands games.
Yeah, this is Gearbox, right?
Yeah, this is Gearbox. And Gearbox has had a lot of problems recently with a lot of games, because they also did the Duke Nukem Forever. They did Aliens Colonial Marines.
But to be fair, both of those games, didn't they start elsewhere and Gearbox just took them up at the end?
Yeah, and when put out garbage, though. So
yeah, but it's a... Yeah. I think you're buying IP they should have.
Yeah, you're buying the IP, but the fact that they were like, okay, this is good. Let's just slide this out there. We don't care if it's utter garbage and we're just slapping our name on it kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But, yeah, it had the static, like, comic book cutscenes, the opening, like, sketchy kind of missing frames animation that I was just like, oh, this is not...
It's not what you paid $5 for?
Well, I mean, it's not a good sign.
No.
I know I'm in trouble when it opens up with shit like that.
To be fair, when a year later the game was selling for $5, you probably had a good inclination you were in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I knew I was buying garbage when I bought it. I just wanted to see just how much garbage it is.
You didn't. You were hoping that you'd find a diamond in the rough that nobody played just because of the timing, but turns out, no, it was also shitty.
Yeah, and then also, during the opening cutscene, there was a really shitty rap song playing over the entire thing. Which made me just go, like, come on, guys. Really? I'm really feeling that you're not trying here.
Yeah, I think we've had a real bad string of, like, looping songs in games lately. Because, like, I had the MLB one. Tyler talked about, I think it was Persona or one of the games he was playing, where there was just a really bad looping song. And now this, so.
Yeah. So that was just the introduction of the game where I went, all right, I'm not really going to enjoy this. And I also knew, like I said, this isn't my kind of game. I know it's not going to be my kind of game. I didn't like Overwatch. I don't like MOBAs.
Yeah.
I know this is a Overwatch, well, you can't really say it's an Overwatch MOBA hybrid thing because this came out at the same time as Overwatch, but
it's very much indicative of other games you don't like. So it's got an uphill battle.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird when in the first area of the game, like the first of the single player campaign, the surrounding environments like looked pretty decent. It's very kind of cartoony like that.
Yeah.
What struck me was that the far off backgrounds were like painted,
like a painting.
It looked like a
background in old movies.
Yeah, it looked like a background of a Disney cartoon.
Yeah, it's a matte painting.
Yeah, which was very off-putting.
That seems like it'd be cool.
Because everything else was 3D, structured animation. And then the background was just painting. And like, kind of artistically painted also. So it didn't really blend in with everything.
It seems like a stylistic choice that seems really cool on paper. And then in execution of the actual game probably doesn't turn out too well.
Yeah. Yeah, it very much did, because it just threw me off.
Yeah,
because
you sang it, I'm like, oh, that could be kind of cool. I kind of like the look of like old movies when they had, matte painting for backgrounds, because obviously they're not filming on location and whatever weird fantastical, thing that they're trying to depict. But when I think about playing it in a video game, is like, I don't know, a static background like that in a frenetic shooter type game doesn't seem like it would mix very well.
Yeah. So... I mean, that's mostly the aesthetic stuff to the game, which turned me off. The gameplay wasn't that bad. It was a standard kind of hero shooter.
Yeah.
You had your various attacks, various characters, and different skills with cooldowns on them. The character designs range from, and I guess this really is kind of for anything, but it felt like there was a big gap in between this guy looks cool and... Really, this is the best character design you can come up with. Just generic elf girl with a mohawk versus like really cool chick with a demon floating over her like shoulders kind of thing.
It seems like everything that you're saying about this is very much they had a bunch of really cool ideas for 6 months and then stopped having ideas at all. And then just like threw a bunch of generic stuff and just slapped it on the end and called it a game.
Something does tell me that when they saw Overwatch coming, when like Blizzard's like, hey, this is our game. And they what we were talking about before we started, seeing something coming and going like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We need to hurry up because we might be screwed by this other game coming out that's doing this so much better. I do get the feeling that they just kind of... probably really started throwing shit together to get it out there.
Well, because you don't want to release too far after something like Overwatch because the name recognition of Blizzard behind it you don't want to come out 6 months, a year later, because then everyone just says, oh, it's a Overwatch clone. Yeah.
It's Paladins.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, Paladins is obviously...
It's legit an Overwatch
clone. It's directly... It's not like that had been in development for 3 years and just so happened to come out 6 months later. Like, no, that one's a direct ripoff. This one just so happened to be in development at the same time, but one company did it really well, it seems, and one just didn't do it at all.
Yeah. Good. But so. Yeah, some of the characters I thought were really cool. Most of them were pretty lame. The cool ones that were cool. The problem with the game, and this is something that I really didn't like about Borderlands, was the humor to it was just very more abrasive and annoying than actually funny, entertaining to me.
Was it like kitty? Like poop and pee and...
No, it's just everybody had... Everything every character said was a joke. Like every line of dialogue was a joke and like kind of a corny joke.
So there wasn't any like actual trash talking. There was just all dumb, corny jokes.
Yeah. It was just like the character was just constantly shouting out random lines that you just kind of roll your eyes at. It felt like dad humor throughout.
I mean, that could be good, I guess. In small
when it's
doses.
Constant and it never stops.
No, that's true.
And it's like every time you kill somebody, they have some sort of quip. Even when you're playing single player and you're shooting like wave after wave of robots and they're just constantly shouting out lame jokes that you're just rolling your eyes at. It killed it really quickly for me.
So what you're saying is best game ever.
Just imagine if every character was Claptrap.
I didn't play any of the Borderlands games.
You didn't hear the constant Claptrap thing?
No, in the advertisements at work.
Yeah, the constant ads on TV, Claptrap, going, I'm dancing.
Yeah, all right, no, that was awful then, never mind.
Yeah. No, you're right. It felt like every character was trying to be Claptrap in it.
Well, and, I mean, if Gearbox was just trying to double down on trying, because people love Claptrap, like...
For some reason.
Yeah, there's a ton of merch with him on it. And
yeah, but
statues and everything.
Claptrap is good when he's the only Claptrap, when every character is Claptrap.
Yeah. Well, they probably figured we'll make every character Claptrap and one of them
will like everyone.
Or one of them will stick and people will like at least one of them. And turns out nobody liked any of them. So that sucks. Did you play anything good this week?
Yeah, I did play. I didn't really play a new game, but I played an expansion for a game. Turn 10, I believe, is the company that makes Forza. Forza. I was going to say Gran Turismo for a second, but that is, the wrong game.
Yes.
Turn 10, Forza Horizon 3, they released a new DLC for the game. It's Hot Wheels DLC.
It looks cool.
It is really fucking cool. Yeah. It just adds a new island to the game. They put out another one that was called Blizzard Mountain, which was like... The Forza Horizon 3 takes place, you're in Australia.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I'm assuming it must probably have to have some snowy area of Australia. I always just pictured Mad Max deserts in Australia.
I mean, they have winter, which is
I
now.
I always thought it was always summer there.
No, it's winter
mind.
Right now.
Yeah. But they added a Blizzard Island DLC. That was a couple months ago. Now they added a Hot Wheels DLC. Yeah. And the Hot Wheels DLC is fucking cool. It adds like a new island to the game that is just littered with giant Hot Wheels tracks, huge loop-the-loops and spirals and flaming hoops and giant mechanical dinosaurs that snap at your cars as they drive by and shit like that.
Is it still that like bright orange Hot Wheels track?
It's the
color?
Bright orange Hot Wheel track. It looks like every kid's dream from 20 years ago when you were sitting there.
Or depending on how old you are, it could have been a lot longer.
Yeah, I guess kids probably still have the Hot Wheels tracks and stuff.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. But it is fucking cool. And it came at a really interesting time because it came out right after Mario Kart 8 got released.
Yeah, it's probably by design.
I'm sure they probably had that in consideration. I've been playing Mario Kart 8, so I'm, driving around as Mario in a little golf cart, go-kart, throwing mushrooms and stuff and going on loop-de-loops. And then all of a sudden I'm driving, a Ford Mustang going 150 miles an hour, spiraling across this giant orange track and then shooting through the air and, trying desperately not to crash as I land.
So it's too realistic then.
Yes. Yeah. It's like how I normally drive.
Yeah. It's too much first, like real life.
It's the first game that I've ever had any kind of vertigo or motion sickness to come out of it. I've never had any problems flying. I've never had any problems driving.
Is it the loop de loops, you think?
I don't know. It's the fact that you are playing some, and I played Forza Horizon 3 and had no problems with this. And I think it's just the sensation of speed mixed with the loop de loops and stuff that it started making me feel like dizzy while playing it.
Weird. Yeah, because you played VR and you didn't have any problems with VR.
I've never had any problem with VR. I never had any kind of actual motion sickness. But this one, I mean, it's not like I was vomiting on the ground or anything. It's just as I was playing it, I was just thinking, like, whoa, I'm feeling a little loopy here. This is fucking weird. So, yeah, it definitely threw me off, but it's really fucking cool. It's really cool DLC.
Was it free or was it paid?
It was paid. It actually kind of pissed me off because when I bought Forza Horizon, I bought the Ultra Deluxe Gold Edition, like the $100 one, with the metal tin and stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't really pay much attention to like what was in it when I bought it,
yeah.
But I assumed it just came with all the DLC. It doesn't. Didn't come with any of the actual DLC of the game.
What did it come with? Just more cars?
It came with like car DLC and stuff, but it didn't include the track DLC. So I didn't get Blizzard Mountain. I didn't get the Hot Wheels DLC. I bought the Blizzard Mountain DLC on sale a couple months ago after it'd been out for a while. And this one, I just kind of went like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to buy this. This looks too cool to pass up on.
Yeah, it did look really cool. All the things I saw when it like got in, like when it came out on, was it Friday?
Thursday? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And it added new cars to the game also, which are all classic Hot Wheels cars.
What, like, so what were the classic Hot Wheels? Because when I think classic Hot Wheels, I think, like, you know, hot rods and...
Yeah, the hot rod with, you know, black hot rod with red flames on it.
Yeah.
The classic ones that are usually whenever there's advertisements for Hot Wheels, they like to pull out the five iconic cars.
Did it have, like, a... like a Woody station wagon, like the panel, the wood panel.
I'm sure
panel.
It's in there. I haven't gotten it yet.
What about, I'm trying to think of what other like classic.
It had one.
That did it have a VW
big,
bus?
It had a big chrome skull on the front.
Ooh.
It's called the Bone Shaker or something, I think it is.
Hmm. I never collected Hot Wheels as a kid.
I had a bunch of them as a kid.
Yeah, I had like a handful and I had like some of the track pieces.
I never collected them.
No.
I had that blue box that you could like open up and it had just the little slots to put them all into.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I would just, like, smash them up.
Yeah, because you just slam them into each other.
Yeah, just bashing them into stuff.
Yeah, absolute destruction. I had some of the tracks and things, but never, like...
I never had any of the tracks.
I had the tracks, but I never had the tracks that had, like, the motor in them.
Yeah, the ones that you could, like, shoot your car.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Which, those are across the track, also.
Yeah.
So you'd be driving around, and then you can hit one of those things, it'll just whoosh, shoot you. It's like the boosts in Mario Kart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool, though. I'm glad that they did that.
It's a little weird, because... The gravity is off in the game when you're like doing loop the loops and stuff.
Yeah.
Your car doesn't really fall off the track. I was testing it out, like going slowly up the loop the loops.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get very far before gravity starts pulling you down. But if you like hit them and then start braking when you're upside down, your car doesn't really fall off the track. It just like sticks to it, but then slowly starts rolling backwards.
It seems like a weird design choice for like a series that's known for how realistic the cars react in the world that they built.
I guess they probably were never considering when they were designing these games that at some point their cars would be going upside down because they were all designed to be realistic.
Yeah. But yeah. But I mean, if you're going to put in DLC that has you going upside down and loop-de-loops, like you should put in the fact that they could also fall at any given time. So yeah, that's weird that they don't fall.
Hmm.
But it still sounds fun though.
Yeah. But okay, so Battleborn... Everyone already knows it sucks.
Not
good.
It's
a game that's been on discount everywhere.
Yes.
It should go free to play. I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Are there a lot of microtransactions in the game that would give them the ability
to
do that?
Tons of costumes and character skins and stuff like that. Surprisingly, I didn't have a hard time getting into a match. I thought it was going to take me an hour to find
another
nine other people to play with.
Yeah.
But it only took a couple seconds to get into a match, so there are still people playing it.
Do you think it has a dedicated fan base from when it first came out, or do you think there's a lot of people like you that just picked it up on sale for $5 and are just giving it a shot?
I have no idea, because I didn't play much of the actual multiplayer.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you realized, like, all these people are good.
I'm
going
to see, like, how it works, and yeah. I got into a game, and I went, oh, okay. I mean, I got murdered, because it was my first time playing, and I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
Did they seem good, or did you just think you were bad?
I have no gauge.
No concept. Yeah,
yeah, nothing to gauge that by.
Hmm. Still, so.
But I mean, if it went free, I'm sure tons of people would
at least try
on to play for a little while.
For sure. So yeah, so that sucks that that game was bad, but at least Forza was good.
Hot Wheels, Forza DLC, A-okay. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up from Joe. That's right. We were going to start putting rankings on things because Carrie wanted to do it that one time, but we already kiboshed it. So Joe just says, best game ever.
Two thumbs up.
Yay.
Drive them cars.
Way to go.
Hmm. How about you? You play anything?
Not a whole lot. I played a little bit more Mario Kart because, you know, Mario Kart, it's great. I played a little bit more Lego Star Wars at the beginning of the week and then got busy, so I didn't play as much of that. I did finally open up Lego Dimensions. I still haven't played it yet. I opened it up and I took the thing out. And it, like, because for a while I was like, I don't really have a place to put this in my gaming area where, like,
they're just all covering my table. I have nowhere to put them.
Well, yeah, but like, I didn't have any place to even put, like, not the dock, but like whatever the pad,
yeah,
the portal.
The portal.
Yeah. So then I took, because I've always seen pictures of the portal, but I've never, like, really, like, looked at it. Like, I've seen the one that you have, but I never paid much attention to it. And I was expecting, like, this big thing, and I took it out of the box and I was like, oh, I don't have to build up, like, the
I don't have to build up the portal.
I could just leave it here and just put the guys on it. So I think I'm gonna get to that this week, because I did buy a bunch of packs with you a couple weeks ago, and the Goonies pack just came out, and I love me some Goonies.
I bought that.
You did?
Nah, I buy all of them when they
I know, but I wasn't sure if you had gotten it yet.
No, yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. So yeah,
what else came out that week?
I think it was just that. I think it was just the Goonies one.
There was Goonies. There was a Harry Potter pack.
A new one?
Added Hermione.
Oh.
And Knight Rider? Or was that an older one?
I feel like Knight Rider was already out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm finally going to get around to that game probably this week just to give it a shot. I think, I forget what I bought in terms of packs. I think it was like Back to the Future and Ghostbusters and maybe like The Simpsons. So all I did yesterday is I opened it up and I like put together the minifigures and their little, like, their each individual little disc stand thing. Mm-hmm. So I did that. So I'll get to play that this week. The only thing I really played that was new, I did play a couple new fighting games, which I've said are not really my jam, but, you know, I wanted to test out some of them. The first one and the one I played more of is I tried the Injustice 2 mobile game, which came out on Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I liked the first one, actually.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I think it's pretty standard in terms of a mobile fighting game. You're tapping, you're swiping, you know, forward or backward, up, down, what have you, to do punches, and you're stringing combos together.
Lego City had a set that came out this week.
Oh, okay.
That had the Chase McCain figure.
Gotcha. So I was playing the Injustice 2 mobile game. I played that on Friday for like a, you know, handful of matches and stuff like that, and it's fine. The like the cinematics that they have in there look cool. They look like they're probably right out of the regular game,
I'm sure.
And they just pull them over. The actual fighting combat, they look fine. The characters
look... just the, like, swipe and tap the block, swipe forward to attack?
Just regular tapping for punches. You can dash forward by swiping to the right and to dash at your opponent. Going back moves you back away. There's a block, like a virtual button that you hold for block. And then there's two power-ups with cooldowns. Excuse me. So it was fun. I mean, you start out and they give you, you know, you just have Batman and I think Harley Quinn. And then, like, I got Wonder Woman. And so I went through the first, like, world just, like, beating up random dudes. And, you know, it's super easy. It's one of those things where they want you to eventually spend money on microtransactions to, you know, buy more characters, buy more, like, you use a ticket essentially every time you want to go into a match. So you earn some, but if you're not good or you die a bunch of times, then obviously they want you to spend that money. So it's fine. I don't play mobile games like that, really. So I'm not going to play very much of it.
The first one was one of the few mobile games I actually sunk a lot of time into.
Yeah. I remember playing it like a good amount just because, like, it was fun. But it's one of those things where I'll probably pick it up a couple more times, like, as I'm in, like, Injustice DC mode, and then I'll just delete it off my phone.
Yeah, I was much more into comic books at that time. I'm not really into them that much anymore, so.
I mean, I'm still into comics, but it's, like, it's a fighting game. It's, you know, if and when I get Injustice 2, I'm going to play that for like a week and then it's going to go away because I'm done with it. But I, you know, I figured the mobile game's out. I might as well try it. It is free to download. It's a huge download file. I was really surprised. You have to download over Wi-Fi and it's just like a giant thing. So it probably won't sit on my phone for very long.
I remember it being a battery thing.
Yeah, that's
well.
The other thing too. That's why I don't play a lot of mobile games is, you know, I'm on my phone so much. I don't want to kill that with a super battery like hogging game. So I mean, it was fine for what it is. I won't probably go back to it very much more beyond, you know, trying to see what other characters I can unlock, or if they do an event where you can get a cool new version of something, I'll probably pick it up then. But I don't really see myself playing a whole lot of it.
I remember them doing things like that, or beat these 10 fights and unlock Red Sun Superman as a character.
Yeah, so I might do something like that if and when they have events. If I know that they're going on, I probably won't, because you probably have to pick up the game to know that they're going on. The other thing I did play, and I played it so little, was I did try out the new Super Street Fighter 2 Ultimate Super Fun Time Switch Edition. I don't remember what the thing is called. It's something. It's a
the
final,
one on the Switch.
Yeah. It's like final Fight Mix Edition. Something. Yeah, I played that. It's Street Fighter 2. I went over a friend's
house.
Wow,
amazing!
I know, right? Who would have thought? I went over a friend's house and we had the game. And one guy's this huge Street Fighter fan. You know, he watches Street Fighter videos on YouTube. He watches all the competitions. Like, he knows all the pros and what moves
he's
they do.
All into Evo. And
yeah, he does the whole thing. We were just watching TBS, the Superstation, had on a Street Fighter tournament the last couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw commercials for it during the NBA playoffs.
I don't have cable, so this is mind blowing to me.
Yeah. TBS has gotten into esports as of late, and they had like a super big Street Fighter competition. So it live streams on TBS with commercials and with like a panel of gamers to talk about the ins and outs, like it would be like a regular thing. But it's also on Twitch too, so if you wanted to watch it, you can watch it on Twitch. It doesn't have the panels and it doesn't have the commercials, most importantly. But he really wanted to play it, so he was like, hey, does anybody want to play? And everybody was dead silent because nobody wanted to face him. So I was like, yeah, no, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. Let's play.
Let's have a little fun.
Yeah. I'm not a Street Fighter person. I've said that a million times. I'm not really a fighting game fan, but I always tended to gravitate more towards Mortal Kombat than I did Street Fighter. So I was like, all right, let's do it. First and foremost, the cradle with the left and right Joy-Cons, not indicative of a good way to play this game. most people, especially with Street Fighter, like to use D-pads.
There's no D-pad.
No, there's the four triangle buttons.
There's the four buttons.
It's not the same at all. The Pro Controller has a nice D-pad. He was playing with the Pro Controller.
He's at an advantage.
Yeah, which is what I said when he kicked my ass. That like,
because of the controller.
Yeah, you're just using the Pro Controller, man. I would totally wipe the floor with you if I had my Super Arcade Stick Turbo Edition. So like, go fuck yourself.
Can you play it just one Joy-Con? Turn sideways?
I think you can. Yeah. Tap. Yeah, I think you can because it's a Super Nintendo game. So
that's true. All you need is just the D-pad and four buttons.
Yeah, it's all right there. So we played one round, one match. Like the first round, I was button mashing. That's how I've always played Street Fighter, just like, you know, throwing my fingers at whatever is near them. And I got him pretty far down, and then he just came back and kicked my ass, so I knew that he was letting me not even win, just come close to it. And then he wiped the floor with me in the second round, and I went, yep, that's it. I'm done. That's Street Fighter. I'm out. Have a good day. So it's Street Fighter. It's the same game everybody knows and loves, so if you're a Street Fighter fan, definitely pick it up. It's Street Fighter. We did try the first person. I forget. It's
the,
like
the Hadouken mode.
Yeah. It's called like the Way of the something. I forget. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's first person horde mode, essentially, where it's just waves of enemies coming at you. They're just M. Bison robots, and you're using the two Joy-Con, one in each hand, and you're, you know, punching, and you're like, you know, you're doing a Hadouken motion with both. And like, it tells you how to do it, and at least there's like a good little tutorial of how to do it. And like, it's fun. It doesn't seem like it registers very well what you're trying to do. Either that, or we just weren't very good at it because it's a new mode. I kind of wish that it was you're having a Street Fighter fight in first person. I thought that would have been a lot cooler, but that wasn't the case. So that was cool. The coolest thing I saw in the game was there is like an art book, kind of like a museum history of different artwork and they're all, it's all like official artwork that people who've worked on the Street Fighter series or worked at Capcom or, you know, designed box art or something like that in the past. It was like, it's crazy number of pages. Like, there was no page counter, so I couldn't tell.
Just
it just kept going and going and going. Some of them were really cool. Like, some of them looked really cool. Some of them didn't. Some of them were super Japanese in terms of like, it's Cammy and it's Chun-Li and they look like they're having a sleepover, but they're both barely wearing anything.
As women are wont to do.
I can only assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not being a woman myself, I can only assume that's what happens at slumber parties. That's
what I dream about.
Yeah. Yep. That is what you dream about. But yeah, so like, but the whole like art book section was really cool. So I thought that was rather neat. But Street Fighter's not for me, so yeah, that'll
it's
be
never been my bag either. I enjoy watching it. I think it's a blast to watch good people play it.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people.
Not one of those people.
I'm not even near the tier of people who, like, I'm probably not even good at watching it. I think that's where I fall with Street Fighter. So I didn't play.
You're just watching the characters in the background, going like, I wonder what that guy is up to.
Actually, this was normally when I watch, like, whenever I'm over there and we're watching the like the tournaments and stuff, I watch the characters. This time, I was watching the background people when he was playing single player, and it's just weird because they're at like a beach party, and clearly this fight breaks out between two superhuman people with special powers and
shooting laser beams and shit at each other.
Just like immediate. Perfect knowledge of all types of kung fu fighting just breaks out at your beach party, and there's like a guy in a gazebo playing an electric guitar in one level, and it's like, how are you not stopping to look at what's happening in front of you, man? Like, come on,
man. That guy in that noodle shop is just really into this.
so that's probably,
imagine you're like at the beach and all of a sudden this green hairy man shows up and starts shooting electricity out of his body.
So weird. I guess I would just keep doing what I was doing too, though. Just pretend he's not here and he won't attack me.
Yes, keep repeating the same motion over and over again.
Yeah. So Street Fighter, that's it'll probably be the last I play of it. I may pick it up again just to try my hand at single player or something, but I probably,
in Street Fighter games, do those ever drop in price?
No, probably not.
If I ever saw it for like $20, maybe I'd pick it up.
Yeah, I don't even think I'm like that. Because at least with Injustice, that has the DC aspect of it to draw me in. This is just a thing that's already exists. I could go play Street Fighter 2 if I really wanted to right now.
On a million other versions.
Yeah, so I'm kind of okay with it there. So that was really all I played. I did actually try my hand at something. And I will preface this by saying this is technically piracy, and I don't condone this in any way, shape, or form.
How dare you?
What, condone not condone privacy or
pirate anything?
I bad
person.
I know, nobody's ever done that. That's
terrible,
been a good
terrible
person.
Human being.
Yes. So I did see in action these like fake amiibos. Have you seen these?
No.
So they're kind of popping up everywhere. They're, you know, you can buy them and things like that. It's basically an NFC read write thing where you can basically. There's ones that are playing cards that have characters on them. That's like a big thing on like eBay, and
well, they had those for Animal Crossing had
yeah, but these
cards.
These are bootleg.
Mario Sports had those cards also.
These are bootleg though. So this one wasn't the cards. This was just, it's a little disc and it's a hollow piece of plastic, probably not much bigger than $0.50. For those of you who are not old enough to know, $0.50 used to be a form of currency that was equal to 50 cents.
Oh.
They don't make those anymore. At least not that I think. So
I still
it's
got a bunch of them later.
Yeah, I do too. Because you were told to collect them because they don't make them anymore. Yeah. Grandparents.
Someday they're going to be worth something.
Yeah, they're going to be worth about 50 cents. Yeah. So it's, you know, pretty small. It's just like a little puck, so to speak. And you throw it on a little square thing that's plugged in your computer. And you can download amiibo files from the internet.
So you can just make whatever amiibo you want.
Yep. So you can just go through, and we were like, you know, looking at the different, you know, Mario Kart costumes that you could just, and it had everybody there. It even had the amiibos that aren't out yet.
Ooh.
And like, it's a thing that exists. You know, I've seen a bunch of articles popping up lately that like, this is kind of a growing thing and an issue with, you know, piracy. I just thought it was weird and kind of interesting.
That doesn't really strike me too much as piracy, because the appeal of amiibos are collecting them. And like the figures that come with them. I mean, yeah, there is stuff like
they do, you know, stuff.
They do stuff, but for the most part, if anyone's going to buy them, they're buying them for the figures.
Yeah. And the one thing which I've seen a lot in different articles and things that have talked about them is, you know, you're doing this because you're going to buy them anyway. Maybe it's not out yet, or you can't find that amiibo because they don't make enough. So you just want to get the thing that you want.
If you want to get Epona in
yeah
in Breath of the Wild. And you can't get that fucking amiibo anymore.
Yeah.
what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You got to resort to something.
I also,
it's that or forking over $80 on eBay.
Exactly. Which is like, what's the difference? You're, you know, Nintendo's not getting that money anyway. Nintendo's not getting that money anyway. So it's not all that different. But this was also from the standpoint of like, if you're a collector and you don't want to open your amiibos because you want to collect all the amiibos and keep them in the box, but you still want to use them and maybe they don't read as well through the packaging. So you've bought it, but now you're just using the thing. Like, there's all kinds of things to try to say that you're not doing the thing that you're definitely doing. I just thought it was weird how easy it was. Like, it was, it blew my mind. It would just be
You can just buy a thing for your phone, actually.
Yeah.
That is a NFC like rewriter.
Yeah.
I remember I had, for Lego Dimensions, I had at one point the Green Lantern, or not Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Was a rare collector's thing. I don't remember what it was originally given away for. They
it
gave
was
it
a
away.
Comic-Con, I think.
Oh, it was a Comic-Con exclusive.
It was San Diego.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I bought one. I like forked over like $80 for it or something. I think it was like $75 just because I was like, fuck, I really...
You have all the other ones.
I want to have all of them. So I forked over like $75 for it, and it worked for a little while, and then it stopped working. And it just didn't register anything when I put the disc onto the tray. Mm-hmm. So I looked into buying one of those rewriters because I wanted to see if I could somehow rewrite...
Salvage it, yeah.
Yeah, the thing and salvage it. But by the time I did that, they were selling them at GameStop for like Black Friday.
It was a pre-order bonus. Or, yeah,
it was
a Black
Friday
bonus. Yeah.
Like buy, you know, 3 Lego Dimension sets and get a Green Arrow figure.
Yeah.
So I never ended up going to that, and I just bought a couple of those just to have a backup in case something went wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, it's definitely piracy. Like, it's definitely something that's in a gray area in terms of legality.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, with amiibos being now scarcer than they ever were because they do more things, they look cooler, like, you know, they're starting to really put that focus behind them that they weren't before. I just, you know, I thought it was an interesting thing just to see. I didn't buy it myself, but I, you know, I watched one get used and I thought it was pretty interesting. So not something I played, but played around with, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling the cops.
Go ahead. I don't own it. It's not here.
I have a recorded confession right now
that I used it.
You're going to jail.
No, it's no, you have to have it on you. You can't say like I smoked pot. You have to have pot on you.
I'm going to isolate that.
What?
I smoked pot.
Yeah, that's fine. I do the editing.
Damn it!
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to leave that part in, so you don't even have to isolate it. You just isolate it later. It's whatever. It's who cares. So that's what we've been playing before we get too down a weird road about legalities and things like that. So we're going to jump right into the news.
What are your thoughts on prostitution?
Not getting into that here. I feel like these weird little tangent
segues.
I'm just
talking about the legality of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So we're going to jump right into the news then, since I'm going to gloss over that. Pretend like you didn't say it, because I'm going to cut it out.
Okay.
No, but then I talked about it, so I can't cut it out. Thanks a lot, me. So we got a bunch of news this week, a ton of stuff coming out. Like I said, it's the pre-E3 like rush of a bunch of different things. So we're just going to jump right into it with Microsoft making a splash in the world of virtual reality. Joe, what do you have on that?
Yeah, so Microsoft announced their own virtual reality motion controllers. They didn't announce a headset or anything. They just announced the controllers, which look a lot like the Vive controllers.
Mm-hmm.
They got like the circle ring on it.
Yeah.
This one's covered with a whole bunch of little light sensors, and the compatible headsets have sensors to pick to track the dots on the controller. So it like the headset is what's tracking your hand motions. I haven't used a ton of virtual reality stuff. I've only used the PlayStation VR, which is just you have a camera and the 2 glowing balls on it, and it just tracks the glowing balls. I used my friend's HTC Vive, which he had sensors all over his room that tracked where you were walking when you were doing stuff to track your motion. So this one is the headsets will have sensors on them that will track the hands. So you don't have to have a camera. You don't have to have sensors. It's just the headset and the controllers, all you need to use to play it.
But this isn't a Microsoft headset?
No, it's going to use other headsets. Right now they said that it's going to work with 2 headsets. What ones were they?
And this isn't HoloLens, right? This is something.
No. It's going to use the Acer Mixed Reality headset and the HP Mixed Reality headset. So Acer and HP are making 2 different headsets that it's going to be compatible with.
Oh, I didn't know that they were making those.
Yeah. The Acer Mixed Reality set is available for pre-order right now for $299.99. And there will be a two controller and headset combo for $399.99.
Does it say in that article, what is mixed reality? Because I know augmented reality and I know virtual reality. What is mixed?
That's just what they're calling it. I don't really know what the, it doesn't really tell me what that means.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to a whole thing or not. Because I've never heard of mixed reality.
But, yeah, so they're putting out their own controllers. It's going to work with the two, the Acer and the HP headsets. Odds are these ones are going to be somehow compatible with the Scorpio because they've already hinted at Scorpio is going to support virtual reality in some capacity. And now they're coming out with their own controllers. That seems weird that they would just do that and not make it compatible with their own, like their upcoming super console.
No, I mean, it's definitely going to, which is a good thing in terms of the VR space. Cause then as long as it's kind of on par with what PSVR can do, then more studios can do virtual reality rather than just relying on first party studios from either Microsoft or Sony to make games. So that's good for anybody who owns, you know, anything in the VR space. That sounds cool. How big were the controllers? Do they seem big or do they seem small?
They look like if you take a PlayStation, like, 4 controller and just remove the center section, so you're just holding on the two nubs.
Okay, so bigger than a Joy-Con, but it's, smaller
it's,
than the...
It's like the nunchuck for the Wii. Yeah.
Cause like
but it has a big ring around the outside of it.
Yeah, like the Oculus controller.
Yeah.
Like the HTC Vive ones. Yeah, those are... Oh, man. I hadn't seen this picture yet. Those are really big.
Yeah.
There's a lot of buttons, too. That's... It seems complicated to use.
Not really. It's just a joystick and essentially a circle D-pad and then a button on the side.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I think the ring is just throwing me off.
Yeah.
The giant ring of lights.
But so, I'm be interested to see what they do that. So I'm sure we're going to get news that these Acer and HP headsets are going to support a ton of various games as well that I'm sure are going to start making their way to the Scorpio once it comes out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. And that wasn't even the only VR news that we got this week because the studio Alchemy, that's owl as in the bird, and Alchemy the magic, smushed together. They're the company behind Job Simulator VR, the newest Rick and Morty VR game. I forget what it's called. But
Virtual Recality?
Yeah, that's what it is, which I heard was pretty good.
I've only watched people play it like, on YouTube.
Yeah, it seems fun.
But it did look interesting, and it had... pretty much gave you the feel of what the show is like.
Yeah.
Ton of crazy, weird, relevant shit happening throughout the course of it.
Very much so. But they just got bought by Google, which was, I thought was surprising. Cause
does Google have their own virtual reality headset or anything like that?
They do. They have the Daydream VR that works with like... It's basically
the phone one?
It's basically their version of the Samsung Gear.
Yeah.
Where like you put the newest Google phone into it. They did a big, you know, a big thing. It just came out this year with the Pixel, but it's supposed to be more comfortable than the Samsung one. It doesn't look like a big chunky piece of plastic on your face. It almost looks like it's covered in a fabric and it looks sleeker, I guess. But still they're buying up a pretty well-known VR developer. I don't know if that means they just want to own whatever that company puts out for other VR systems, or if they're just going to be like doubling down on their own internal VR development for Daydream or for a standalone Google VR, which is entirely possible. I wouldn't put it past Google to make their own dedicated VR machine, like an Oculus, like a Vive, like a PlayStation VR, that would work on PC. So that wouldn't surprise me at all, but I still think that's pretty, and this seems like it's the first big acquisition of a major VR company going specifically, to one thing.
Studio. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. So a lot of VR news this week. I mean, I don't have anything VR, so I don't know. It doesn't really do much for me.
I have a feeling sooner or later you're going to have to get one of those.
I want one. Like, I almost bought one back in the fall, but I bought a 4K TV instead. Like, I do want one. One of my big hopes for E3 is that we're going to get a lot more VR game announcements.
I'm sure there's going to be a ton of VR.
Just because it seems like there hasn't really been much as of late. Really since the PlayStation VR came out, and then with HoloLens being soon, and now Oculus has controllers, and everybody's...
Well, HoloLens is a VR.
No, I know, but like, it's more things in that non-traditional gaming space that will hopefully bring about more games, which is obviously what everybody likes. So
I hope they make like... I'm now thinking of what Microsoft would do with a virtual reality headset, thinking Steel Battalion VR.
Didn't they do Steel Battalion for Kinect?
They did. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was Kinect.
So, I guess it could be fine with VR.
But it could be cool in VR, sitting in the cockpit of a big fucking thing, pulling levers and shit.
Did you ever play the Star Wars missions, the VR missions?
No, I did not.
On PS4?
No.
We should do that one day. You should bring the PSVR over here, because I have it, I think, because it came
with... Yeah, I don't have Battlefront.
Yeah, it came with Battlefront, the super deluxe edition that I got on Black Friday. So we should definitely do that at some point, or I'll just go over to your house and we'll play it, because I want to try that out. It seems cool.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, Steel Battalion would be fun. I'm sure you'll get a lot of like Halo missions and, you know, Gears first person stuff.
Chainsawing like, stuff in first person. Spraying all the Gibbs everywhere.
Yeah, making sure there's blood splatter all over the place. So that's cool in the VR space. So move more into traditional gaming. We got a couple of new leaks, as has been the trend over the last couple of weeks, with regards to new series or new franchise changes coming. The first of which this week was a screenshot of the new Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
At least it looked like that. Obviously, you know, as with any
unverified
leak,
it was a picture that looked like somebody took of a TV screen.
Yep. So as with all rumor and speculation, you know, you never know if it's true.
Grain of salt.
Exactly. But it did seem to confirm the Egypt setting, which had been long rumored, never officially confirmed.
Never officially announced by them, but everybody pretty much knew it was coming.
And that game's got to be coming this year, right? Like, they haven't talked about it since they said we're taking a year off.
They took a year off after Syndicate to make this one. And, I mean, the trailer, or the, not the trailer, the picture does look good. It looks like the return of sailing sections and stuff. It's the guy on a boat, but it's just kind of a little boat.
Yeah, he could just be coming from one port to another, and you're not really steering or doing anything boat-like.
But it certainly looks like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
They kind of hinted that it was going to be like a big departure originally after they said we're going to take a year to kind of completely retool how the game works.
Yeah.
It still looks pretty Assassin's Creed-y from this picture, but it's just one picture, so you can't really get too much from it.
Yeah, I remember them saying that. I don't know, though, how far you can take away and still call it Assassin's Creed. Like, what can you do?
The new God of War doesn't really look anything like a God of War game.
Kind of still does, though. I mean, yeah, it's different enough.
But it's not like the high, you know, high, like, motion combat. It didn't look like...
No, it seems slower.
Yeah, it seems like slower and more methodical as opposed to the Devil May Cry style, like, fast-paced action of God of War.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about God of War right now. We're talking about Assassin's Creed. Screenshot does look good. Yeah, it does look like it confirms the Egypt setting. Other new leaked game information... it's looking like the next Far Cry game, also sticking with Ubisoft games coming out. The next Far Cry game should have or might have, once again, this is just more rumors, might have a Wild West setting.
Is that game, do you think that game's this year? When was the last Far Cry game? Primal?
Far Cry Primal was the last one.
That was last year, right?
Yes.
And they're annualized, aren't they?
I feel like it at this
point. Because
then
4 would have been the year before.
Yeah, and then 3. I mean, it feels like they've come pretty quickly. They might have, like, you know, a year and a half different thing. They might not be
spring to winter kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might not be specifically that, but...
Well, I'm just wondering, because Red Dead 2 comes out this year, and to have another, you know, shootery...
Yeah, but this kind of synchronicity stuff does happen a lot.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
You know, like that point in time where, for some reason, every game coming out had bow and arrows in it.
Yep. Yeah, right around the reboot of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it seemed like everything had bow and arrow. The Far Cry had the bow and arrow, and...
Crysis 2 had a bow and arrow?
Yep.
Wasn't, like, that one, too? Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely, but, you know, one's Rockstar doing an open world versus Far Cry's open world... Right, because Far Cry's open world, is it not?
Far Cry open world first person shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not first person versus third person.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting. I love Wild West settings, so I'm perfectly fine with everything taking like a chance to do Wild West.
Did you like the other Far Cry games?
Yeah. I didn't play Primal because I just didn't really care about like caveman.
Yeah, hunting woolly mammoths
stuff.
And, yeah.
I didn't play 1 and 2. I did play 3 and 4.
Yeah. Well, 3 and 4 is really when they, like...
Yeah, it's like the rebooted thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, I didn't play Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, but I played 3 and all the other ones.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, that's the same. But like,
and I mean, if they did Old West, I would be completely down for that.
Was there any screenshots, or obviously there's not a trailer because it's a leak, but was there any like, here's a picture of the map or the cover or something, like here's a GameStop poster?
It was somebody on a film crew said that they were working on a live action trailer for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they've done that in the past for like live action commercials and stuff.
Yeah, they always had like the live action version of the guy, like the crazy guy, mm-hmm. like Vav or something, I think his name was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But yeah, they've always done live action commercials. So a crew said that they were working on a live action Old West commercial for, I think they just said like an upcoming Ubisoft game.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we'll probably get more about that at E3 then.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of cool. I'm not a super Western-y type person. It's why I didn't get super amped for Red Dead or Red Dead 2. That seems cool. So we got that. The other newest thing that we got in a long-running series is news about the new Dynasty Warriors, which is Dynasty Warriors 9.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. I heard some stuff about there was going to be a Dynasty Warriors 9, which seemed obvious, but I didn't hear this news.
Oddly enough, the Japanese name for Dynasty Warriors 9 has an 8 in it. I don't understand that, but... That's fine. But
probably like why Final Fantasy 7 or
that's true.
6 just was 3 in the US.
Random things in the West. But the newest one looks to be going open world, which cool. It seems weird because like in the Dynasty Warriors games, you are always locked to a specific like
battlefield.
Yeah. Quadrants of the map. But even so, like the whole battlefield isn't always open to you because the battles take place over expansive areas, but you're contained to this.
You need to beat the guard of the area so that the gate opens up to move on to the next area. Yeah. Thing.
So, I mean, that could put a pretty cool wrinkle in it to be able to just go wherever you want. I would hope that they have some kind of thing where, like horses or something, where you can get to those other areas quicker than just doing a run. But
I'd be interested to see how the story flows because the games are pretty much just like pick your guy, pick the battlefield, go into the battle.
Yeah.
What do you do with an open world? Is it just you're running around a giant open world just fighting dudes?
Maybe.
Is there an overarching storyline? Is there a reason you're going to these battles? You know, are they giving you missions saying like, oh, this faction needs help with this battle over here? Like, you know, head over there and help them.
I would assume so. I would think it would be something like, you're going to this, like you're a general or you're whatever. And you go, all right, guys, we have this war that we're trying to win. We need you to go out to this battlefield. And there's a cutscene of you going there. And like, you know, you're at a camp the night before and you're talking about battle strategy. And those are your cutscenes. And then you go have your big expansive open world, you know, battle. And then, all right, guys, we just got word from the higher ups that we got to go to this next place, and there's more cutscenes of you traveling to the different areas. And I mean, that could be how you weave a story through, not technically still open world. I don't know how it'll work. It'll be very interesting to see though, because I like those games. I haven't played any in a while because
I played the crap out of them up until like Dynasty Warriors 3, but yeah, after a while it was just playing another Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I think I played all the PS2 ones. Like, I was really into them back at that time. And then once it kind of came over to PS3, I fell off a little bit because just they weren't doing anything new or different. So I might actually check this one out if it's something new and different.
Me too.
I'm very interested to see how the dynamic of it works. So I'll be interested to get more info. Because right now all of this just came from, I think it was Famitsu, just like a Japanese publication, and then translated over. So it's not a ton of info, but enough to pique my interest a little bit about the next Dynasty Warriors.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I played Hyrule Warriors because it's the same game, but hey, this one's Zelda. So.
Yeah, and I played One Piece Pirate Warriors.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was another one recently.
Well, there's Fire Emblem.
Yeah, and there was... Dragon Warrior got one also.
Dragon Warrior? Dragon Quest?
Dragon Quest. Dragon Warrior is the original name back on the the Nintendo. But yeah, Dragon Quest got one.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest Heroes.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued. Seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be down for it.
Yeah. So that does it for the leaks. But we did have some big studio shakeup news. First of which being BioWare, and Joe, you've got the rundown.
BioWare has not been having a good year.
Wait, I thought Mass Effect Andromeda was a drop-dead success that everybody loved.
Oh, yes. There was nothing but positive news about the next the previous Mass Effect Andromeda, and that's why they're not going to be making Mass Effect Andromeda 2, or at least it's put on ice.
I called this. I sat here when right before this game came out or right after, and I said, I don't think there's going to be a Mass Effect Andromeda 2.
I don't think you can really claim you're some sort of Nostradamus with that. I'm thinking a majority of people.
Mark it down.
I am surprised. Okay, so, yes. What happened was BioWare announced that their studio that worked on Mass Effect Andromeda, what was it?
Mosaic? Something like that?
Montreal. BioWare Montreal. Yeah. They're the ones that worked on Mass Effect Andromeda. They announced big cuts to the studio.
Yep.
They said we're putting I don't think they officially confirmed it, but it looks like Andromeda 2 has been put on ice.
Yes. Well, a lot of the people from that team are going to work on Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're taking all the people that worked on the game off of it. So this could mean that maybe they're going to create a new team to work on it. But all things seem to be pointing that the game has been put on hiatus, possibly indefinitely.
Yep.
I am actually... I also said, like, I have a feeling this is going to happen. I'm surprised that it's actually happening because still it's such a big game that you would think that they would be like, okay, now we make the good one kind of thing. Now we're going to actually put the effort into making sure it's good. Because Mass Effect 1 wasn't a very good game.
Yeah,
but it was a new game. Like, it was a different kind of game.
But that's the thing. That's a new IP. This is the fourth game in the series.
Fifth one that they're making.
What?
They would have been making.
No, I mean, I'm saying, like, Andromeda was the fourth game in the series. And it was ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of issues, hiccups, just BS from the word jump. Like, this didn't have anything good coming out of it. Like, people tore it apart.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me at all that this quickly they're like, all right.
It's such a big IP that I'm surprised they wouldn't be like, okay, let's fix it. Like, now let's put out the good one, as opposed to just saying, like, all right, we fucked it, just bury it.
Yeah, but how much, I mean, it's one of those things where how much public trust have you lost?
Oh, they've lost a lot of
public trust. That's what I'm saying. If they came out of E3 this year and they're like, listen, we know Andromeda wasn't the game you all wanted.
But we're telling you, Andromeda 2 is going to be great.
Yeah, don't worry, in 2 years, you're going to get the game you deserve and we want to make. No one's going to believe them. They're going to be like, uh-huh, that's what you said about this. You said, we're returning to the Mass Effect world. Everything's been great. Like, it's all sunshine and rainbows. Like, it's not... I don't think they could have done anything but this to say, we're gonna take some time.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it may come back on ice. Doesn't always mean canceled. But, I don't know.
Yeah. But as of right now, they had a new IP that they were touting that was going to be coming out in 2018. And that's been pushed back to 2019.
Yeah, but we don't know what that is.
We don't know what that is, but we knew that they were working on something, and now it's got pushed back. I don't know if that's due to these kind of shakeups, or is it that they just wanted more time to work on it, or is it just big cuts to BioWare, you know, delaying things because of that.
I think they lost a lot of money on Andromeda, and that's kind of affected how things are going to go going forward. Do you think we're going to still find out about it at E3? Like, do you think they're going to come out and be like, guys, we have this game, it's 2019, it's new, it's different, it's on PS4, it's on Xbox.
Can you really come and announce a game that far out in advance?
Sure you can.
People, that's true. Like, other games have been announced like 3 years in advance.
Yeah, it's not unheard of, but it might be unheard of for a studio that just got, you know, lambasted on their most recent game to come out and say, don't worry, we've got this new game that you're totally going to love. It's the same kind of thing as, you know, announcing Andromeda 2.
Well, I mean, they would need balls, like you said. Oh, everybody's tearing them apart and, you know... Basically, at this point, I feel like people are going like, all right, let's see how they fuck up now. Yeah. Now it's become like you're looking forward to seeing how BioWare fucks this up.
Yeah, I kind of want them to not do it and just take a year.
Take your time.
Work on it. Do your thing. Make sure that you like what you've got. You've got something cool to show. And E3 2018.
It would be smart to let the heat die down.
Yeah, because they got a lot of heat. Yeah. Like, they've got a lot of shit that people just are really mad about with BioWare. Dating kind of all the way back to Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, and then ending of Mass Effect 3, I think it still did pretty good, but I remember a lot of people not being very into Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of heat there,
like,
too. Yeah,
like, Tyler was a huge Dragon Age fan. He bought, like, a brand new TV to play Inquisition and was fuming over how bad that game was.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good that they're pushing back the new IP. I hope that, you know, hopefully they just, they realize that they have to put in the amount of time and effort that these.
Part of me feels like they've, their head got too big.
Yeah. Well, because like when they're, you like, have,
we're BioWare, everyone loves BioWare.
Yeah. When you've got big IPs like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, you've got Star Wars games that you're making. These have built-in fan bases. These have name recognition, and you can't rest on those laurels. Like those, yeah, those names. You have to put in the work. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is them at least announcing, all right, we're going to take a step back. We're going to put in the work, yeah. Which is good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, does anybody really want Mass Effect Andromeda 2? I know there was problems with, you know, glitches and things, but was there enough there that people even wanted?
I didn't hear anything about the ending.
No, like, it was probably
like
a cliffhanger.
You know, how much, yeah, like how much the ending left open for a cliffhanger for the next one. Like how much anticipation the ending of this one would have created for the next one. Because I remember when like Mass Effect 2 ended, everyone was going, oh my God, I can't wait for Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this one had all its problems. I heard zero buzz about the ending building up any kind of interest in the next
season. I don't know that many people that got to the ending.
That's true. So it's possible.
So, yeah, I mean, good for them that they're going to, it seems, take time to reevaluate themselves and really put it into their work, hopefully.
Fix your shit, BioWare.
Yeah, get on it. But they're not the only studio that had trouble this week. Square also parted ways with IO Interactive. They are the makers of the most recent Hitman and had only Hitman on their plate for the last, like, 4 years. They were only working on Hitman projects. Did you play the episodic Hitman?
I did not. I've never really played. Like, I've on and off played some of the Hitman games, yeah. But I never actually sat down and committed time to playing any of them.
I played, what was the PS3 one? Like, the last one before the episodic one.
Absolution?
Yeah. I played a little bit of that, and I remember there was, like, a beta or a demo that was basically just, like, a sniping game that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I played that also. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, that I enjoyed that, but I never really got super into the Hitman series. The new episodic one, I heard mixed things. It depended on the episode. They had plans initially for 3 seasons of it from what I read, but, Square Enix is pulling their money out of that company. So it remains to be seen what is going to happen to IO, if they're going to stand on their own, if they're going to pursue other projects, if
they still have the rights to Hitman.
Yeah. So I don't know if Hitman's going to die on the vine and they're going to go and make new IP, or they're going to partner with, you know, Sony or Microsoft or some other big publisher.
I'm looking at their development history right here.
Yeah.
And they've pretty much made all of the Hitman games since the first one in 2000. They also made Kane and Lynch. I forgot about that.
Oh, man, I forgot that game existed.
Both of them? There was 2 of them.
Yeah.
I liked the Kane and Lynch games.
What was the... That was basically like Heat, right?
Dead Men was the first one, and then Dog Days was the second one.
Weren't they like bank robbers or...
Yeah, the first one was they were bank robbers. Yeah. It was about them bank robbing. The second one I actually found really interesting because the storyline was they go to like Shanghai, and they accidentally fuck up, and I think they kill the daughter of a Chinese mob boss. Mm-hmm. And the game is them just trying to get out of Shanghai.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The whole plot is like at the beginning of the game, they accidentally kill this person. They're like, fuck it, we're out of here. We got to get out of here. We got to get the fuck out of here because now the entire Yakuza is Japanese. I don't know what the Chinese.
Triads.
Now the entire triad is like chasing after them.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really cool game.
So they did that. So they, I mean, they've got a history.
And they also did Freedom Fighters and Mini Ninjas. So we could be seeing Mini Ninjas too.
No, we're not.
Oh.
I played Mini Ninjas, I think.
I did not.
I think it was a PlayStation Plus game on PS3 or PSV Vita or PSP or something like that. I don't remember it very much, but I remember it existing, and I think I played it once or twice. But so yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what that studio does going forward. Obviously, to not have a big, you know, a big publisher like Square behind you probably limits what you can do, because I don't think they're going to go fully independent. They're going to try to partner with some kind of publisher.
Hmm.
I don't think they're going to self-publish the next Hitman games or anything.
Yeah, probably not.
But I don't know.
I'm sure some studio is going to buy them up.
Yeah. I would like them to take a break from Hitman, because I don't think it sells enough, and I don't really care about it. I would like to see what they can do with something else.
Hmm.
I mean, they clearly have, you know, shooter and story games in mind.
Can't wait for Kane and Lynch 3.
It's... I think it's too far removed for a Kane and Lynch 3. I know most things that are dead might not always be dead, but that one seems pretty dead. So
sad.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully the studio stays afloat at the very least. It's never good when studios close. But yeah, it remains to be seen. So not a good week, just overall for a bunch of different studios.
Yeah.
It's a weird time in the industry. There's a lot of just like, you know, studios getting cut left and right, people closing. Maybe
with E3 coming up, that's the point in time where, you know, the big developers are evaluating stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see what they come out with. Obviously, E3 is way too close for them to announce anything new, unless I doubt that they were like halfway through the next Hitman season and that gets announced with a different public. Like, I think we're too close for that. So probably won't see anything from IO this year. Maybe next year they'll come back roaring with something new, something cool, or maybe just more Hitman. I don't know anybody's clamoring for it. So we'll see. So that was it for studio stuff. We did have a couple of sports game things that we're going to talk about because I love sports games.
And I don't.
Yes. Most people, you know, especially in the gaming community, kind of shit on sports games just because, like, the people that play sports games typically are not.
Does wrestling count as a sports game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play so one. There you go. Look at you. But no, I really like sports games. I like sports. It's a thing. I enjoy playing the sports. And I know it's one of those things where most people are like, wouldn't you rather just be outside playing football or playing basketball? Like, yes, of course I would.
But you're playing, not going to be playing at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that and like playing real sports is really fun. I like playing real sports. I like playing street hockey. I like playing all this. But sometimes you can't get 10 people together to play a real game of basketball. So you know what I can do? I can pop in 2K. So I have fun with that. It's a good time. It's not like I'm never going to pick that over going outside. If someone's like, dude, we're gonna go play a pickup game of basketball, I'd be like, all right, let me get my shorts, like, let me get my shoes on, let's go. And I'm not gonna stay home and be like, no, I'd rather play 2K, you guys get out of here. So that's just my rant on sports games, which Joe hates. Never played one
ever. I don't hate them.
No,
I like
fun.
the more kinetic ones. Like, I don't like NBA 2K. I like NBA Jam.
Yeah. I still haven't played Playgrounds. That came out this week.
Or last week. Yeah, I'd like to give that a try.
Yeah.
I think that does have that. I think that's like microtransactions also, though. Microtransaction heavy. Because I think you buy like packs to unlock new players.
Yeah, there was very sparing characters on release, but they said more are coming and we're going to give them. They made it seem like the roster is small right now and then they're going to, like, you're going to get them, but they're going to be free. Is what I recall reading. But so yeah, I do got to get back and give that one a try. So maybe we can play that and give that one a shot. But this one, we have the two new cover athletes, one of which for NBA 2K is just the Legends edition. So they have the regular edition that will have a current player on it. Then there's the Legend edition, which comes with extra stuff, probably more, you know, whatever, my player credits and things like that. And then there's the Legacy Gold edition as well. And they announced the cover athlete for that is Shaquille Shaq O'Neal, star of such films as Kazam and star of such games.
Steel.
Star of such games as Shaq Fu. And that time they tried to reboot Shaq Fu that I don't know that it ever came out. Do you remember that?
I'm pretty sure that came out.
I don't remember it.
To not much fanfare.
No. I remember it was like, I thought it was an April Fool's joke at first, and then it was real.
It wasn't Shaq Fu, though, right?
No, but
it was called something else.
But it was. I don't remember what it was called. But it was basically a revival of Shaq Fu, which was an older game. But yeah, Shaquille O'Neal is going to be the cover athlete for NBA 2K Legacy Edition. The Legacy Edition, he's in his Miami Heat uniform. And then the Gold Edition, he's wearing a Laker uniform to naturally match with the gold. So in addition to him on the cover of that, we also got the new Madden cover athlete, which for the second year in a row is a New England Patriot. And this time it is Tom Brady.
Now, Tim Bradley?
No, Tom Brady. No. Very different. Now, Joe, are you aware of the Madden curse?
Yes. Whoever ends up on the cover ends up getting hurt.
Yeah, hurt, arrested, something bad happens to them. Did you see the reveal of the cover athlete for this year?
I know that it's Tom Brady. But
well, no, like they did a video. So
Tom, is it him like walking down the street with like cars and barely missing him?
No. So he very much acknowledges that there is the curse that he's heard about. His teammate last year, Rob Gronkowski, did get hurt while being on the cover. Not surprising. It's Gronk. He gets hurt all the time. The video was essentially
great at WrestleMania.
That's right. He did fine. He did wonderful. So Tom Brady has a video where he acknowledges that the curse, you know, the people think it is a thing. He says he doesn't believe in curses, proceeds to then break a mirror and walk under a ladder.
While opening an umbrella inside in front of a black cat?
He didn't do that. He just did the other two things. So he's basically goading the universe into breaking both of his legs.
Now, I don't know. I'm not a football fan, as we've established.
Yes.
I did watch the Super Bowl the last, like, you know, 20 minutes or so because I heard everyone losing their fucking minds over it as it was coming down to it. Good luck to him.
Yeah. I hate Tom Brady because I am not a Patriots fan, despite living in New England. So it's my own personal hell. And you never root for someone to get injured. That's bad fandom. However, burst into flames. Like, just burst into all the flames. Break all the legs that you have.
Wasn't he going to, like, retire after getting the 5 rings or something?
He's still he wants to play for, like, 15 more years, he said. He wants to play until he's, like, 60. It's something stupid. Dude needs to go away. Yeah. But my hatred is safe for another podcast, I assume. but, yeah, it is kind of funny that he's acknowledging the curse and – but he's actively trying to, like, have the universe be like, fuck you, buddy. And for a guy who dates a supermodel and has a bunch of Super Bowl rings, the universe has been pretty good to him. It's about time he got his.
I was going to say, if there is anybody that will break the curse, it'll probably be him.
Yeah, like, he breaks everything else. Fucking jerk.
You know, God loves him, apparently.
Apparently, so.
I mean, I will admit, I don't know jack shit about football, but I was on the edge of my seat watching that Super Bowl going like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I don't know what the rules are, but I know something amazing is happening right now.
Not quite sure what football is, but this seems riveting.
All right. He caught it. Is that good? I remember that, like, at the final play when he actually scored the touchdown.
Awful.
I remember going, like, for a second going, like,
did he win?
Did he win?
Did they win the game?
Did it happen?
Is that how sports works?
Because it was just me watching it by myself, so I had no one else to
explain to you sports.
Yeah, I was just listening for the cheers.
Yeah. It was funny that he, you know, put that video out. I have seen a couple other videos since the announcement where it's basically he had to go meet the board of directors for his, like, his TB12 brand to be like, guys, it's fine. I'm going to be okay. He was wearing a bubble. Like, but it wasn't a full bubble that he was inside of. It was just, like, his upper body up to his neck, which I thought was weird.
So he was wrapped in, like, a bubble wrap suit?
Kind of, but, like, so his arms were, like, out, you know, at, like, a 90-degree angle. And, like, the bubble was just around him and, like, down to his elbows and stuff to be like, no, see, he's protected. But it's like, yeah, but his head's still exposed. And he's a football player. The head's the part you want to worry about because, you know, concussions and whatnot. Like, cover that shit up. So that was pretty funny. So yeah, Tom Brady, cover athlete for Madden 18. It did look like it was called the GOAT edition, the greatest of all time.
Say the GOAT edition.
So just more accolades for Mr. Tom douche. So yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the regular edition is called the GOAT edition or if that's going to be what they call the special edition that gets you more, you know, again, my players stubs and whatever, you know, random things. I think the Madden Ultimate Team packs or the card packs that you open for Madden Ultimate Team. I think it comes with those as well. So, yeah, Tom Brady and Shaquille O'Neal are cover athletes now. Shaq's been on games before. This is the first time.
Shaq had to have been on some of them
before. Yeah, Shaq's been on game covers before, I'm pretty sure.
This is the first time Tom Brady's been on?
I think it's the first time Tom Brady's been on the cover. Well, because you have to think there's only been Madden for, you know, most of Tom Brady's career because he started in 2001 and 2K5 is the last football game that wasn't. He's never been on the cover. Unless there was like, no, because I was thinking maybe there was like a blitz or some offshoot thing. But no, this would be the first time Tom Brady's ever been on the cover of a game. So,
surprising.
You know. Yeah. But,
I mean, he is the greatest of all time.
He's due for a good leg break. So the other one, the knee, that was fine. But he's due for a good leg break. So that's it for the sports games. So everyone who hates sports games can now breathe a sigh of relief. Or you just skipped past that part, and now you're here at the next part, which was some interesting numbers regarding Halo 5 Guardians.
Yeah, so Halo 5 Guardians, the head of 343 Studios came out, and he explained that Halo 5 Guardians has earned more in just microtransactions in the first 6 months of its release. It's been out for longer, but in the first 6 months, it earned more in microtransactions than any of the other previous Halo games earned in just paid DLC.
Yeah.
So in terms of like map packs and other multiplayer stuff, just 6 months worth of microtransactions beat all those out. And that's like, you know, on an individual game base, it's not the combined total of all the DLC from the other games, but just, you know, the amount of DLC sold for Reach and the amount of DLC sold for 3 and the amount of DLC sold for...
Oh, it wasn't cumulative? Like where you took all of the DLC, this no, made
it's
X.
Just like per game.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I've never really been a big fan of microtransactions in games.
Oh, yeah, I don't pay for them.
Yeah, me neither. I hope this isn't a sign of things to come. Because, I mean, you go where the money is, and if they're like, oh, fuck, microtransactions are a lot better than just selling, you know, DLC map packs.
Yeah. Although it doesn't really... The thing with microtransactions in a game like that, because what is the... I didn't play Halo 5, because I don't have an Xbox, but, like, the microtransactions are skins, armors...
Yeah, it's like armor sets, you know, different various paint jobs for the armors, weapon skins, and stuff like that.
So it's not actual weapons, right?
I mean, it could have been. I didn't play much of the multiplayer for Guardians. Yeah. I didn't like it at all.
Well, because what I'm thinking is that, like, if it's not weapons and it's not vehicles and it's not things to use in the game, it's all aesthetic stuff, even if that's the way that it goes, where there's a million armor sets and, you know, paint jobs and whatever, like, that doesn't impact your ability to play it because you could just play the same game as everybody else. It's when it becomes, you can buy this much better gun for $5 of real money, versus this person has to wait until level whatever to earn it, that's when it becomes a problem. So if it's all just cosmetic stuff, I guess it doesn't really matter that much that's the way the game is going to go.
The thing I'm more concerned about is them just being like, oh, why bother making map packs? Why bother actually expanding on the game when we can just make all of our money off of weapon skins and stuff?
Yeah.
And it's just going to, you know, create a way for developers to be lazier.
It's kind of like Grand Theft Auto at this point. Because like Grand Theft Auto Online, it's microtransaction based, I believe. And they haven't done any single player DLC.
Yeah, no single. I mean, 4 got, you know, 2 huge single player releases. They sold them as standalone games. They were so expansive.
Yeah.
And yeah, 5 has just been nothing but, you know.
You could buy a motorbike.
Yeah, buy various vehicles and stuff.
For the online.
Yeah, just for the online. Single player stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of seems like some games are already going that route.
Yeah, and that's disappointing because the DLCs for Grand Theft Auto 4 were better than the actual game.
Yeah. Was it Ballagay Tony and Lost and Damned?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's surprising that if Halo goes that way. I can't see a shooter, though, in this day and age not having map packs. I mean, Call of Duty's 2-year-old game that we talked about last week just got map packs, so I can't imagine you're going to stop doing map packs.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll still be doing those. It's just... You know, if as time goes on, I could picture studios just taking the lazy route.
Yeah, that would be a real shame.
Because I could definitely see, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, or whatever the hell the next one is after this, you know, World War II.
Yeah.
Them just being like, we're just selling weapon skins and stuff instead.
Could you imagine if, like, World War II?
Because Black Ops 3 had microtransaction.
What were those?
It was just weapon skins and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
character armor sets.
Well, you got to think too. I feel like a lot of people are looking at things like Overwatch with their loot boxes, and
yeah, that's what Black Ops 2, 3 did as well.
And those get a ton of money. Like, I don't play Overwatch. I know people that do, and I've listened to other people that have, and they spend like a crazy amount of money on those loot boxes, just trying to get skins.
YouTubers, there's a big market in the YouTube community of just doing box opening videos.
Yeah.
It's just somebody being like, I bought 100 loot crates for Overwatch, and it's just a video of watching them opening and going like, oh, hey, cool, I got a super rare thing.
Yeah.
Those are big videos on YouTube.
Yeah, and I never, like, the cosmetic stuff in games, I never really cared about, like, you know, I know one of the things in Overwatch you can get, and I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't also come to Halo or something like that, where it's just like, look, it's a new taunt, or a new thing your character says to, you know... Like, or a new dance or an emote or whatever. Like, I don't care about any of those. I'm not spending any time mapping them to the different buttons to decide what I want to do. The only time I've ever done that is with, like, wrestling taunts. But at least that makes sense because that's what the characters do. Like, I don't care what generic shooter character does when he gyrates or teabags or, you know, whatever. Like, gives, you know, gun fingers to be like, I got you. Pew, pew. That's my taunt. Like, I don't care about that. So, I mean, if that's the way that it goes,
I feel like the only way to, well, I mean, you could easily do it the other way, but to me, going back to Battleborn, if you're going to go that route, game should start being free.
or at the very least, like $40.
Yeah, like cheaper. Yeah. Like, if you're going to sell me a $60 game and then just be like, okay, and also, like, if you really want to enjoy it, you got to toss a ton of money into microtransactions kind of thing.
Yeah, I think as long as microtransactions don't become guns and vehicles and things that make you better at the game, then I don't really have a problem with them. If someone wants to go spend their hard-earned money buying things that make your in-game character look different, that's all power to you. I'm never going to be that type of gamer. Like, it's just not who I am. I don't care. Like, you know, when I play, the only time I really care what my character looks like is like in a Spider-Man game or a superhero game. I want certain costumes. If I then have to go buy those costumes, I'm out. You've lost me already. If I can earn it through in-game currency or through unlocking it via missions and stuff, then I'm game. Like, I will play that game specifically to unlock that costume just so I can then have fun running around in that costume. But I'm not going to pay you $2, $3, $5, a dollar, whatever, just to like have my gun be orange camouflage in a Halo game or in a Call of Duty game. Like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, the farthest I've ever gone in terms of stuff like that has been like collector edition stuff.
Yeah. Like, if it comes in like the collector's edition,
you buy a collector edition of something and it comes with a bonus something, you know, like, Breath of the Wild, you buy the Switch season pass and you get the Switch t-shirt.
Yeah. But that's
I didn't buy it for the Switch t-shirt. I bought it for the season pass.
Yeah. Like, I've gotten things like that in season passes, in deluxe editions, in bundles or what have you, but it was never a thing where I was like, sweet, that one comes with the vest that I want my character to wear. I'm spending $40 more on the deluxe edition. That's if it comes with it, that's great. Usually I've already buying it for the other things it comes with, the deal, the future real DLC, you know, things like that. Not necessarily the cosmetic stuff. Cause I don't know, the cosmetic stuff in games doesn't really, you know, doesn't really do much, because most of the time studios put a lot of work into making these characters look a certain way to be a part of their story or to be a part of this world that they're building. I don't need to necessarily change that. Like, usually it's pretty good what they've come up with in their tireless, you know, working and, you know, going to the drawing board and stuff.
Yeah, I like to play through a game the way it was intended.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Resident Evil games have always had tons of alternate costumes, and they're not sold as DLC and stuff.
No, they're just in the game.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's the kind of thing where I want to play through the game first regularly, and then I can be like, okay, now I'll, you know, after, on a second playthrough, I can go through wearing the gangster costume for Leon in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. Yeah, see, to me, superheroes is the only one where I was like, I want to wear my favorite costume.
Spider-Man costume.
The whole time. Or like the early Batman games, there were all these extra costumes and stuff that you could get, or like they'd be part of DLC, or you unlock them in the game, or they're pre-order bonuses. I remember being
really excited to play as Yellow Lantern Batman in Arkham City.
But you couldn't play through it until the second playthrough.
Until you beat the game.
I was always like, oh man, I really wish I could play. That's why I liked Arkham Knight so much, was that I could just use whatever costume I wanted from the get-go, which is good. So that's those are the only types of games where I don't want to play it as the developers intended in terms of the look and feel of your costume, is the superhero games, just because, you know, those costumes already exist and I already think they're cool. Somebody clearly put time and effort into making those costumes at one point. I have no problem playing as those, but very rarely are those microtransaction based, and if they are, I don't usually go and get them. So yeah, it's definitely interesting to see a big thing like Halo going potentially a more microtransaction heavy route.
This doesn't mean that that's the way they're going. No, but like I said, once you realize where the money's coming from,
once the article comes out about where the money is coming in terms of that game, most studios are going to be like, okay guys, follow the money. Mm-hmm. What made us the money? Let's do it. It's the same thing with gameplay mechanics, where it's like, okay, what makes us the money? It's this cover mechanic people love. The fact that it's a shooter, people love that. People love the driving, whatever. Follow the money. Put more of that in the game. So I hope that's not the case, just because it's not a trend I particularly care for. But if it's cosmetic, then it doesn't change things fundamentally, then to each their own is basically what it boils down to me. So. So that was it for the Halo. We did get something which kind of mixes genres, as things are tend to do, where we get, you know, video game adaptations of, you know, for movies and for TV and animated series
we've
and
had,
stuff.
Assassin's Creed come out as a movie recently.
People keep trying to make Uncharted. Mm-hmm. This newest piece of news, however, is not a movie. It's not a TV show. It is a TV show. It's not animated. It's not scripted. It is a game show based on Candy Crush.
And it just proves that God has abandoned us.
If you didn't think 2017 could get any worse, this summer we have Candy Crush, the TV show.
Yes, CBS is going to be having a game show based off of the hit most played phone game of all time.
18 billion rounds worldwide per month.
Per month.
Per month. Candy Crush.
Starring AC Slater.
Yes, Mario Lopez in the thing. So now, in addition to you getting inundated with requests from your family members to play this game with you, you can now watch Mario Lopez play with a bunch of random strangers who were way too hyped about it.
Yeah. So we watched the trailer for the show beforehand.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can keep this. What the game is various weird ways to play Candy Crush.
Yeah. There looked like people were suspended from the ceiling, like they, Mission they have Impossible like a
gigantic, they have a gigantic TV screen, and they had people hanging from ropes, like swinging around trying to move the gems, or they had them climbing ladders, and it looked like someone was moving the ladder from the bottom while the other person climbed up it and to swap the things. They had a giant screen on the floor, and they were rolling around on the floor trying to hit buttons.
Yeah.
It's just them going like, okay, how many different ways can we use these giant touchscreens that we've developed to play Candy Crush?
And thankfully, this looks like it's a limited summer run where it'll probably be, 5-10 weeks or whatever. Does it say how many episodes they're getting?
Did not say.
Yeah, it just is coming this summer.
They might have said, but my brain was slowly dying as I watched it.
Yeah, so, and this isn't even the first time that there's been a game show based on another game. Like, they had the Family Game Night. I forget what, I think it was on Game Show Network, or it might have been on Nickelodeon or something. Game Show
Network has probably gotten a couple of these that just kind of slid by.
Yeah, where there was and the Family Game Night games that had like new versions of Monopoly, like you remember those, right? Yeah. That came on PS3 and Wii and stuff like that. Yeah,
Monopoly. And
they had game shows. Battleship. Yeah, they had game shows for families based around that same concept of those new ways to play these classic games. So this is just another extension of that, but those had a short shelf life, and hopefully this one is too. And I don't care about Candy Crush one bit. Bejeweled clones to me, or they're all the same. It's, there's not much new ways to play it. This just seems like it's very much a suburban family, wet dream, so to speak, of just like, look at how much fun they're having playing the thing that we all play.
Well, you can possibly win $100,000 playing it.
Not even a million? I feel like in this day and age, the standard bearer for winning on a game show on a major network should be $1 million.
Which is what kind of makes me think that this might be
dumber than you thought.
Well, here to stay and not just a summer thing. If it was a summer thing, they would definitely be like, we're only going to do so many episodes, so everyone gets a chance to win $100,000 or $1 million.
Yeah.
The 100,000 are like, we can keep this running for a couple of years.
Yeah, it'll depend on ratings.
Yeah.
If the ratings are good, it'll probably be every summer. It's welcome back, Candy Crush.
Everyone's mom who plays Candy Crush is going to be wanting to watch this.
That's true. Oh, yeah. No, this is going to be huge in, the mom world. Mm-hmm. So, happy Mother's Day to all those who are really excited about the Candy Crush TV show. You will be watching it without me.
I don't even have cable.
Well, you don't have to have cable. It's CBS. You can have an antenna. Just take it over the air.
Yeah.
I know. It seems like more work.
I thought they killed antennas.
No, you still need a digital TV. You can get digital TV tuners to watch things over the air. I'll show you. It's fun. You don't have to have cable, and you can watch all the major networks. So you can watch all the football that you now love on Sundays on CBS and Fox. Good. Yeah.
I'm good.
That didn't suck you in learning all about that football?
I'm good.
No. All right. Well, that does it for the news. It was a lot of topics. None of them are particularly meaty topics this week.
No. We got E3 coming up, so everyone's holding on to all the good stuff until then.
Yeah. So just a lot of different things. Nothing too meaty. So we've blown through all the news. So we'll go from one really crappy game show to one really awesome game show, and that is the newest episode of ESR Beatdown. This time, I'm on the hot seat, and I am alone. I don't have the ability to piggyback off of other people's thoughts and opinions on what game it might be to determine on my own game. But I was really light and easy on Joe last week, so I'm now hoping that he was really like easy. No, we made it extra hard. Yes, apparently. So here we go with
it'll be interesting.
Episode or version round three.
Round three of
the ESR beatdown.
Dun dun.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's rife for a theme. We're gonna get one. It's
okay.
Gonna come.
Okay. First game. I only did three games this week. But the last times we played this, we did five games. I felt like it might have gone a little too long.
See, he did take it easy on me. I only have to try to guess three.
Mm-hmm. First game.
Okay.
2008. Okay. We're going way back.
Way back.
Released on Windows PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360.
I had those.
The game is rated M for mature.
M for mature. 2008.
Do you want the descriptors?
We
include that in the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
right off the bat.
Yeah, because if I had the ability to randomly guess based on the
just
year.
Just the year and the consoles and the
good on rating. Me. Wait, before you read the content descriptors, Grand Theft Auto 4.
No.
God damn it.
It's just going to be our lupus.
Go ahead.
Content descriptors. Blood and gore. Intense violence. Strong language. 2008. Rated M for mature.
So you said blood and gore. Intense violence and strong language. So no sexual themes.
It's actually got a pretty short blurb on it. Okay. So we'll see if you can get it.
Okay. Now give me something.
This is a third person action game that takes place in a mysterious space station.
Mass Effect 2.
No.
Mass Effect 3.
No.
Mass Effect 1.
No.
I don't know. Your face made it seem like I was on the right track. In a space station.
Yes. Those don't really take place on a space
station. No. They're on spaceships.
Cruising all over the galaxy, going to various planets and stuff.
2008. Now I got to put myself in the mindset of what I was doing. I was in college in 2008.
What were you doing 9 years ago?
Jesus fucking Christ. I was playing, I think, 2008, I would have been playing a lot of Warhawk. I've been playing a lot of Warhawk.
That does not take place on a space station.
No, it does not. I don't know. Give me the next one.
The protagonist searches for clues found in the form of audio and video clips and various other items while avoiding hazards and fighting alien monsters.
2008. Is it Halo 3?
It is not.
No, that wouldn't take place on a space station. Fuck. Oh, man. The audio thing. Oh, damn it.
Collecting audio files.
Yeah.
Blood
shit.
And gore. Intense violence.
Strong language.
2008
yeah.
In space.
On
a space station.
For fuck's sake. The audio thing is... damn it. shit.
Vroom.
Vroom. Fuck.
He uses several types of guns, lasers, and flamethrowers to defeat enemies.
Wait, did you just assume his gender?
Yes.
All right.
Well, the ESRB did.
Oh, those bastards. All right, so you said various types of guns.
Lasers and flamethrowers.
To
defeat alien enemies.
Oh my god.
Characters lose limbs and heads, accompanied by sprays, stains, and gushes of red blood.
It's not Duke Nukem Forever, is it?
It is not.
Oh, shit. Oh my god.
Dismembered alien and human corpses appear regularly.
I have no idea. I can't think of it. What is there anything else?
Strong profanity, including shit and fuck, can be heard in the dialogue, as well as seen in graffiti.
In graffiti? Oh man.
It seems like you have...
I'm like,
are you searching for the name?
I can't.
That's all the blurb. That's everything.
Oh.
It was a short one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm going to kick myself when you say it. I don't know.
You're searching a space station.
Yeah.
Dismembered alien bodies everywhere.
No, I feel like I can see the game,
blood and
but
gore,
I don't.
Flamethrowers. Graffiti written on the walls.
2008.
Collecting audio files.
I don't know.
You give up?
Yeah, I give up.
It's Dead Space.
Oh, of course. Fucking. I knew it. I knew. Damn it. I knew I was going to kick myself as soon as you said it. Fuck. All right.
Oh, harsh.
Damn.
Right. Damn, it's
old
a zero.
Games.
Zero.
That's zip. Zip zilch.
We're gonna jump up a couple years now.
Oh, thank God.
We're gonna head up to 2011.
Okay.
For this game, released on Windows PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360.
Okay.
It is rated T14.
Ooh, Joe Blakesley going the T14 route.
I'm waiting out of my territory.
Yeah, you're breaking out of the mature rated games.
Content descriptors, alcohol reference, blood, mild language, suggestive themes, use of tobacco, and violence.
Tobacco
2011.
And alcohol?
Tobacco and alcohol. Or no alcohol.
No, yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, the alcohol reference was the first one. Yeah. Alcohol, blood, mild language, suggestive themes, use of tobacco, and violence.
I don't know. Give me something else.
In this action-adventure game, players investigate a neighborhood overrun by psychopaths and former prison inmates.
I hate myself so much. Damn you, brain. A neighborhood. I feel like that's a dead giveaway, and I just can't for the life of me figure out what that is. 2011. Give me the next one.
As players explore the city, they infiltrate hideouts, punch and kick criminals in melee-style combat using various gadgets to defend themselves.
You said characters?
I didn't say character at all.
I thought you did.
As a player explores the city and explore the city and infiltrate hideouts, you punch and kick criminals in melee-style combat using various gadgets to defend themselves.
Kicking and punching. 2011.
Kicking, punching, and gadgets.
Gadgets. Gadgets. Give me the next one.
Their frenetic combat is highlighted by cries of pain, punching sounds, realistic gunfire, slow motion effects. In some sequences, players must solve puzzles and use stealth to incapacitate enemies and free hostages.
Oh, it's Batman. It's Arkham City.
You got it.
Yeah! I was just trying to think. For some reason, I thought it might have been the Captain America game, because that also came out that year and had, you know, slow motion.
You were in a castle, though, not in a neighborhood.
Yeah, which, like, well, you're kind of in, like, the castle seems like a town, almost. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, Arkham City's not really, I wouldn't call it a neighborhood, either.
Well, the ESRB did.
I know, I'm not saying you specifically, yeah, the gadgets was what made me think of Batman. Yay, I got one. What else? Was there anything else funny?
The next set of things. Some environments contain bloodstains, and on the floor and furniture, other cutscenes depict spots of blood and injured characters.
Okay.
During the course of the game, some female characters are dressed in form-fitting outfits that expose large amounts of cleavage.
Wow.
One background sign depicts the silhouette of a woman in the words, "live nude." The dialogue also contains some suggestive references, e.g. the anger and frustration, the hints of repressed sexual tension, and sure could go for some porn right now.
Wow. Really? In Batman?
Yeah, it's the prisoners. They're all prisoners, been locked up without any women, and they're just walking around going, man, I sure could go for some porn
right now. Sure could go for some porn right now. I know every time I've ever been sexually frustrated, I constantly say, man, I should really go for some porn
right now.
Well,
you can always just pull out your phone and have access to all the porn in the world.
That's true. It's all there, everybody, on your phone.
Last bit was one sequence picks a character smoking a cigar and for various references of alcohol. E.g., she's got a little drunk and killed her classmates. I'd give anything for a nice cold beer right now. And the words bitch, ass, and bastard can be heard in the dialogue.
Wow. Bitch ass bastard.
You bitch ass bastard.
All right. Take it on home. We have a final game.
All right. So you're 1-0.
Woohoo! Finally got one.
South. Damn it. I read the name wrong.
For fuck's sake. All right. We're going to pretend like you didn't. What's some of the funny things in the game descriptor?
God damn it.
Shit.
I got to start writing this in a different way. I put the date or the game and then the year after it.
All right.
So it's not South Park, The Stick of Truth, 2014.
All right. Well, what are the things? Because I want to see if I would have been able to guess it. Because I did play that game a whole bunch.
God damn it. Windows PC, Xbox, or PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
Yep.
Apparently I've gone dyslexic. Apparently I'm reading too good.
Yeah, you're reading really well.
Rating category, M for mature.
Yep. Uh-huh. What are content the content descriptors?
Are blood and gore, drug references, mature humor, nudity, strong language, strong sexual content, and violence.
That's all of them, I think. All right, what are some of the funny paragraphs?
This is a role-playing adventure game where the player embarks on various quests.
Wait, South Park, The Stick of Truth. Yes! Got it!
Damn, you're good.
All I have to do is cut out Joe saying the name earlier, and I look like a fucking genius.
Players can engage in turn-based combat, selecting attacks from a menu screen. Players use various weapons, swords, baseball bats, and hammers, magic spells, and melee attacks during fights.
Blood splatter might have gotten effects it
here. Occur sometime.
I think I might have gotten it at turn-based magic bat.
Cutscenes occasionally depict cartoony characters dismembered or decapitated.
Yeah, I definitely would have got it there.
The game includes several instances of mature humor and sexual material. One extended sequence depicts characters getting anally probed by alien creatures.
Yep, I definitely would have had it there. Definitely would have got it there.
Another sequence in an abortion clinic.
Yep.
Depicts doctors using a vacuum to perform procedures on male characters. One level takes place inside the rectum. rectum/colon of a character.
Yeah, Mr. Slave. Right?
Sequences are depicted in a cartoony and over-the-top manner. Characters are occasionally depicted nude, including breast, buttocks, male genitalia. One extended sequence depicts an out-of-focus couple having sex in the background as players engage in turn-based battles in the foreground. Sexual moaning sounds and dialogue is heard. During the course of the game, drug paraphernalia can be seen strewn around methamphetamine lab.
Yep.
The words fuck, shit, asshole, and faggot can be heard in the dialogue.
Sure. They sure can. So I got two. Clearly, I won that one because I heard Joe say South, knew immediately what game it was.
God damn it.
I think that's the record for fastest.
I did that on the first one also.
What do you mean the first one? Like the first
time
today?
The first time we played with Tyler and Carrie.
No, you didn't.
No, I did. I started off, I went... middle, fuck.
No, I don't think you did.
No, I did, but you guys weren't paying attention.
Oh, we didn't hear it. That's what we get for not listening to you.
So I accidentally said middle instead of when I was going to say Shadow of Mordor, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. I started off and went, okay, the next game is middle, 2014 or whatever year it was.
Yeah. So basically what we learned is you need to write these in a different format and put the title at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, something to take away for next time. It is still a learning curve.
Yeah, we're learning. We're learning.
Some of us learn faster than others. Joe is not such a person. But thank you, Joe, for bringing some to the table. I now kind of wish you had five.
I know. I did wish I brought five. I
wish you had five. But anyway, that's going to do it. I think that's everything that we had. Joe, did you have anything else that you wanted to go over?
Nothing else.
All right, so we will wrap it up for another episode of the Broken Clock podcast, Gamescast. You can find us every Monday on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, and now Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at Broken Clock Pods. Give us a like, give us a follow, thumbs up, whatever it is that your platform of choice says to say that you like it, do that thing for us. We greatly appreciate it. But once again, as always, my name is Adam.
I am Joe.
We will be back next week with another Gamescast as well as another pay-per-view prediction show. So the Broken Clock podcast main event will also have an episode next week. Look for that. In the meantime, we're going to be, playing a whole host of games this week. Hopefully some more news comes out as we are rapidly approaching, the time of the year where everything video games happens at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, just a little over a month away. But again, we are both here for the Broken Clock podcast where we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day. That's going to do it for us this week. So thanks so much for listening.
Bye.